standing on the promises of Christ my King.
West Irwin Church of Christ, if you're visiting with us this morning, we're so glad that you chose to spend your Sunday morning with us, and hello to everybody joining us online. As I begin announcements, I want to point out the attendance cards on the back of the seat in front of you. Same old song and dance, if you'll fill one of those out for us, please. We'll have some young guys come around in a little bit to pick those up. As you're filling those out, I'll run through our announcements. So you'll notice this morning both Bill and Eric are spending some much-deserved time away this weekend, and so our brother Davey Carter is going to bring us the word this morning, and we're so excited to have Davey preaching, but be thinking of Bill and Eric and their time away. Today is Small Group Sunday, as you peek through the bulletin, and so with Small Group Sunday, first off, if you're not connected with the small group and you would like to be, talk to one of us. Talk to some, just shout it out, and we'll get you plugged in somewhere. But Small Group Sunday is today. Along with Small Group Sunday, we connected a small group. You are welcome to drop your kids off with us. The youth group, are offering up some childcare services for your small group today. And so on your way out, just drop them off at the play set there as you're walking down the hallway. Y'all know where it's at. It's the one that looks like you're inside of a McDonald's. But it'll be great. We'll wear your kids out for a little bit, feed them some pizza, watch a movie, and then we'll send them home with you. And so I hope that you'll take us up on that opportunity. That is directly after service. Next week, looking ahead a little bit, we're going to finish off April with an all-church luncheon. That'll be over in the Family Life Center directly after service. And then the week after that, so 2 weeks from now, you'll notice in the bulletin is Senior Sunday. It's a little bit earlier this year than what it normally is, and we'll leave the table set up just a little bit longer. But we've got a wonderful group of seniors this year, and so we hope that you'll be here on Sunday, May 5th, to be able to celebrate them and send them off with well wishes. And we're so excited to honor our seniors in that way. Davey this morning is going to be talking about prayer, and so I thought it would be fitting to open up this morning reading a prayer that Paul sent in his letter to the church in Philippi, and this is his prayer over them, and this is our prayer over y'all. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Good morning. We're glad to have everybody here, our members, our visitors, those who are joining us online, and I just want to again thank folks for sitting a little closer to the front. It really helps with the song service, and want to encourage everybody to continue to do that. Plus, for those who are joining us online, it's a much better visual picture for them. There's a couple of individuals that were not in the bulletin that want to add to the prayer and care list. Connie Thornton, who is Gene Rutherford's daughter, is facing some significant health issues, and we want to remember her and Gene. Michael Willis Jr. was at a work accident, basically had his leg crushed this week. They initially thought that they were going to have to amputate the leg, but apparently that was not the case. So we're very happy to hear that. And then just got message that Ruby Cliver was moved to hospice. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the ability to come and gather in this place to worship with you, to commune with you, and to commune with each other. And Father, we are so grateful for the freedom that we have to come and worship you and to learn about your word, and that we're thankful for knowing that when we do meet together as a congregation and as a group, that you are present, and when you are present, there is power amongst us. And Father, this is why we cast all of our burdens before you, because we know that you are aware of everything going on in our lives, and that we will pray for the peace that only you can give us, to take away our fears, our worries, our anxieties, and to help us to reflect on the goodness and to know your goodness, and to know that you provide the strength that will help us through the trials that we all experience in our lives. And Father, we pray for, again, those who are traveling, those the visitors that are with us today that are traveling home. And Father, we pray for those on our prayer and care list, for Misty Ford, Connie Thornton, Michael Willis Jr., Tom and Allie Clark. We pray for the family of Wayne Moses, friends of the Lees who lost their son recently. We pray for Ruby Cliver as she's moved to hospice, for Jessica Cathy, for Dana Crow, for Joanne Wilkinson's daughter, Stephanie, for Dolores Kennedy's brother-in-law, Kenneth Gentry, and then for Eric Thornton and his family and the loss of his grandmother. And Father, we know that you will help us through these troubles that we have, and that you'll see us through. And Father, we pray for this church, for the staff and for the elders, for the deacons and the teachers and the volunteers and the people that do so much behind the scenes that sometimes are just not recognized, but we pray for that, and we pray for, and we are thankful for your help there. And Father, we just pray for the growth of this church to be an anchor here in Tyler. And Father, for those that are not on our prayer list, we know you know who they are. We pray that you send your Holy Spirit to those who need comfort and protection, and to have patience and to have relief. Father, we pray for our elected leaders, and we pray for the unrest that's going on in the Middle East, and we pray that that does not develop into something more significant. And Father, we pray for those that would use strife to divide us, and we know that in that division, it's Satan uses that to keep us from being focused on you, and we need to be focused on you. And Father, in doing that, we pray to be strong and steadfast in your word in the battle between good and evil. And in the words of John 14, where it says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. We pray that we will not be afraid. And Father, we know that we have all sinned. We know that we all fall short. But it's through your grace that we overcome that. And we are here to help and encourage each other. And to know that you will always love us, that you'll never forsake us, and you will always do what's best for us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Song before communion. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me?
I figured I better give it a second, see if the electricity goes out again. So, all right, I think we're good. So, sunrise, sunset, for the most part, they look the same, don't they? But when asked, people usually prefer one over the other. Now, I'm an early riser, and so I've had the privilege of a majority of the days of my life of enjoying both the sunrise and the sunset. And hands down, I prefer sunrise. Doesn't matter where I'm at. I could be up in the mountains. I could be out on a lake. I could be sitting having coffee with my wife. Sunrise. It's perfect. Something about those first rays of light as they're reaching up over the horizon. The first warmth of the sun on your skin. Sounds of the birds and the rest of the world coming to life. It's all right, isn't it? It's a promise of a new day. Yesterday, you could have been swimming around like Scrooge McDuck, all in his gold. You could have had a day where the world took its pound of flesh from you. That was yesterday. That sunrise is for a new day. That sunrise gives you the potential of anything could happen that day. So, that's why I liked sunrise. But that's not the best part. Best part about the sunrise, 24 hours, a new one happens. 24 hours after that, another one, and another one. I just love it. It just regenerates me. That's why I love that every week we come and stand before this table and we take communion. Every week we take time to remember the life and the love and the teachings of our Savior Jesus. We remember the body that was broken. We remember the blood that was spilled. And we get to rejoice and celebrate in his resurrection and ascension to the Father. For me, it's like a sunrise in my soul. It's a new day. It's a promise of a new life that was given to us by the redeeming blood of our Savior Jesus. Let's pray. Our God, our Father, you created us and you love us. We separated ourselves from you and you gave us a path back to you through your Son, Jesus. And we are eternally grateful for the sacrifice of your Son for our sins. It's in Jesus' name. Father, we rejoice. We rejoice that you gave us your Son. We are saddened that his flesh was broken and his blood was spilled. We are saddened that he was laid in a tomb. But we rejoice in that sunrise. We rejoice in that day that is promised, the life that is promised through his sacrifice and his resurrection. We rejoice that he sits at your right hand and he speaks on our behalf. Thank you, our Father, for this. Amen. So, can you raise someone from the dead? Can you create a sunrise? No. But God can. God provides everything for us. So let us rejoice as we give back to Him. Let's pray. Our Father, You are giver of all. And we just want to give back to You everything we can. The gifts that we give back, they're Yours to begin with. But we pray You multiply them beyond what we can count. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Good here. I'm good here. Okay. Technicals. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad.
Already this morning, Tucker shared with us a prayer of Paul to the Philippian church. Grant, one of our elders, prayed a beautiful prayer. And then Mike just prayed some beautiful prayers for remembering the Lord's suffering and death. And now I want to share with us this morning a lesson on prayer and just how powerful prayer is. Prayer plays a vital part in our worship services, doesn't it? But I'm here to tell you, prayer needs to play a vital part in your life as a child of God. And the effectiveness of the prayers of God's faithful children is affirmed time and time throughout Scripture. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you shall receive, if you have faith. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. James 5, 16. The prayers of a righteous man avails much in its working. And I could list so many other scriptures found in God's Word about prayer, but I think that's sufficient. Every sincere prayer offered to God by His faithful children receives an answer from Him. Not necessarily immediately, not necessarily exactly as the petitioner requests, but it will be answered in accordance to His will. God's answer of no is just as much an answer as His answer to prayer is yes or later. But God cannot answer and will not answer prayer in a way which is inconsistent with His moral nature or with His spiritual nature. God will not give anything to His child that will harm them, but only what is good for them, which I read in Matthew chapter 7. Psalm 34:10, they that seek Jehovah shall not want any good, because He gives it. So finally, worthy prayer is limited to the good of man and to the will of God. Let me share these words with you. Prayer is a whisper in the wind, a gentle call to the divine, a plea for guidance and peace as we navigate this world of mine. In prayer, we find strength to face the trials that come our way. A beacon of hope, a shining light that brightens even the darkest day. Prayer is a conversation with power beyond our own. A chance to pour out our hearts and know that we are not alone. In prayer, we find peace amidst the chaos and strife. A moment of stillness and clarity, a respite from the struggles of life. Prayer is a song in our hearts, a melody that soothes the soul, a reminder of our connection to a higher power that makes us whole. In prayer, we find comfort in the midst of pain and despair, a gentle embrace, a loving touch that reminds us that someone cares. Prayer is a dance with the divine, a graceful movement of the Spirit, a chance to remember and let go and let the divine presence guide us. In prayer, we find hope. When all seems lost and bleak, a glimmer of light in the darkness, a promise that we are never weak. Prayer is a journey within us to discover our true selves, a chance to reflect and grow and find the answers that dwell. In prayer, we find gratitude for the blessings that abound, a humble recognition of the divine and the love that knows no bounds. These words state the words that I have on the screen behind us about the powerfulness of prayer. It provides us strength. It gives us a needed conversation with our Creator. It provides us peace and comfort and hope and gratitude. And many other words could be added to that list. The productiveness of prayer is the power of God. It is only God's power that gives any productivity to our prayers. We should have no doubt at all concerning the ability of God when we realize that His power is immeasurable. The prophet Jeremiah makes this statement in Jeremiah chapter 32 concerning God's great power. O Lord God, it is You who have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and by Your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You. You show steadfast love to thousands. O great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, great in counsel and mighty in deed, whose eyes are open to all the way of the children of man, rewarding each one according to the fruit of his deeds. And then Matthew reminds us in chapter 19 and verse 26, this simple statement, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. We're learning a new song here at West Irwin. We've only sang it a few times, but the words are so powerful. It's titled, Behold Our God. Listen to the words. Who has held the oceans in His hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at His voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on the throne. Come, let us adore Him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore Him. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of His words? Who can teach the One who knows all things? Who can fathom all His wondrous deeds? Behold, our God, seated on His throne. Come, let us adore Him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore Him. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. Whatever I need, whatever you need for a happy, fruitful, victorious life, whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual, God has all-sufficient power to supply it. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. James, in chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And in 1 Timothy, Paul tells us to set our hopes on God because only He can richly provide us with everything that we need to enjoy. And then to the church in Ephesus, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly more than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God gives us everything we need. Well, in the second place this morning, the blessings or the power that God gives His children do come through Christ. They come through Christ, His Son. So whatever the Scriptures say concerning the power of Christ is equivalent to speaking of the power of God Himself. Jesus says these words in John 17, as He's praying to the Father, all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, he refers to Christ as the power of God. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3 portrays the power of God in Christ as the unsearchable riches of Christ. The riches of God in Christ are like a track that cannot possibly be explored. Sonia and I love to travel. I think it was two summers ago that we went to Colorado with my sister and brother-in-law and spent a few days in Colorado Springs area in Silverton and Ouray and around that part of Colorado. And we got to visit a gold mine one day and had a tour guide that took us through this mine. And the unsearchable riches of Christ are like a mine whose treasures are inexhaustible. We were in a part of Colorado, and we were down in the kind of a cavern type area of a mountain. And through some of those crevices within the side of that mountain would be water flowing through these crevices. And we were down so low and within this cavern, we could hardly hear each other speak. It was so loud and it was so powerful. You see, the unsearchable riches of Christ are like a fountain whose waters eternally gush forth. Any attempt to measure the inexhaustible riches of God in Christ is as futile as the attempts to measure the sky by the span of your fingers or to empty the ocean by spoonfuls. It can't be done. That is how powerful prayer is in our lives. It's immeasurable. It's inexhaustible. It brings us these things listed on the screen in such a bountiful and an abundant fashion. Prayer is the tapping into of God's riches. It's the plugging in on the current of God's power. Prayer is the connecting wire along which God transmits His power in our lives and enables us to get above and beyond ourselves. It is a habit of mine every night before I climb into bed, I take my phone charger and I plug it into an outlet by my bed, and then I plug in the other end into my phone. And when I wake up in the morning, my phone is ready to use. It's been fed. It's been nourished. That's what prayer does for us. Again, prayer is that connecting wire along which God transmits His power in our lives, and it enables us to do tremendous and wonderful things for His cause. If I could use a military term, we can think of prayer as being the strategic position of the Christian life. Go to the battlefield for just a moment. When a general chooses a place from which he intends to strike an army, he plays his most greatest attention to the points which he thinks most important to the fight. At what point on this battlefield is the most strategic location for us to gain the victory? No matter how significant the other points may be, to overlook the most important is to certainly invite danger. The same is true in the Christian life. To overlook our access to the Father through prayer will invite certain danger. These words, in prayer, Thou art coming to a king. Great petitions with thee bring, for his power and love are such, none can ever ask too much. Don't be afraid to petition God for help. He begs you to. He wants you to. He knows he has the power to give you to overcome. The faithful Christian knows that prayer is not just the refuge for the weak. Oh, it's that. But the faithful child of God also knows that prayer is the reinforcement for the strong. It makes us stronger. It makes us better. There is no valid conclusion that can be made that God answers prayer as a substitute for human endeavor. Don't think ever that if I just pray to God, everything is fine. You still have a part in it. Prayer, like faith, is dead without works. Yes, we must pray, but we also must work. Don't expect God to just take over and do it all. Charles Spurgeon once wrote these words, "Pray to God, but keep the hammer going." There's work to do. Prayer is important, but don't stop working. A gentleman by the name of Lyman Abbott said, "Let no one pray for victory unless he himself is willing that God should answer by giving him a battle to fight." We're in a battle, and we will lose it unless we lean on God in prayer, because he provides the power for the victory. As an example, consider a farmer for a moment. I grew up in a farming community from the time I was in fifth grade through my junior year in high school. A community where wheat farming was a thing. A farmer who is a faithful Christian does not pray to God for assistance in giving him a crop as a substitute for his obligation to prepare the soil, to plant the seed, or whatever his part might be. But he prays to God as a reinforcement of his own efforts. You see, that farmer depends on God to do for him what he cannot do for himself. That farmer cannot bring about the sunshine that's needed for growth. That farmer cannot provide the needed rain. But God can. And he earnestly prays and pleads to his God that he has faith in, that he will provide what is needed, so that he has prepared the soil and he has planted the seed, that he will reap the harvest. You see, he expects God to do for him what he cannot do himself. In the church, we pray for the sick. We pray for the poor. We pray for the needy. But we still have the responsibility to work that which is good toward all men, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Do good unto all people, but especially to those of the household of faith. Even though we pray, we're still to bear the infirmities of the weak. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. You see, when we pray in vain, we ask God to do things for us that we cannot do ourselves. God will always do his part, but keep the hammer going. I loved this illustration that I read. It is said that the presence of Napoleon on the field of battle was equivalent to a reinforcement of 40,000 men. Now, that's amazing to me. But I ask myself the question, why? And I believe this is the answer. Because Napoleon so increased the fighting value of every soldier in his forces that his mere presence was equal to another army on the battlefield. That is how much faith they had in Napoleon. That is the power that Napoleon had over his armed forces. His mere presence was like having another full army fighting along with them. Prayer does that same thing for the faithful soldier of the cross. You see, the man of prayer is the best kind of man there is. Again, we might ask why. I believe this is the answer. Because that man is reinforced by the power of God. He's our reinforcement. He is our ever-ready, present God. One of my favorite stories in all of Scripture, ever since I was a young boy, named after him, David. 1 Samuel 17. David meets a giant by the name of Goliath. Why was David able to slay Goliath? Certainly not because he has the size advantage. Certainly not because of his military training or prowess. Although he was pretty good with a slingshot. Not because he had been working out in the gym 4 or 5 days a week, raising those barbells and gaining the strength. He slew Goliath because God's presence was with him. He slew Goliath because he prayed to God. He had that relationship. I ask this morning, are you discouraged? Pray. It will comfort you. Are you peaceful? Pray. It will confirm you. Are you tempted? Pray. It will uphold you. Are you fallen? Pray. It will lift you up. I said earlier in my lesson, sometimes we pray and we wonder if God even hears because we don't seem to know the answer or find the answer. These words by John Henry Newman, I think, answer that question for us so very well, and it's entitled, Sometime, Somewhere. Say not, the Father hath not heard your prayer. You shall have your desire. Sometime. Somewhere. Unanswered yet? Though when you first presented this one petition at the Father's throne, it seemed you could not wait the time of asking. So urgent was your heart to make it known. Though years have passed since then, do not despair. The Lord will answer you. Sometime, somewhere. Oh, unanswered yet? Nay, do not say ungranted. Perhaps your part is not wholly done. The work began when first your prayer was uttered. And God will finish what He has begun. If you will keep the incense burning there, His glory you shall see. Sometime, somewhere. Unanswered yet? Faith cannot be unanswered. Her feet were firmly planted on the rock. Amid the wildest storms, she stands undaunted, nor quails before the loudest thunder shock. She knows omnipotence has heard her prayer, and she cries, "It shall be done." Sometime, somewhere. Prayer is powerful, but prayer can also teach us patience and endurance. As I close this morning, I find it only adequate and necessary that I thank this church again. So many times I have felt God's power through your prayers. In my years of illnesses and surgeries and sickness, I felt your prayers. And I appreciated your prayers. I've been overwhelmed by the prayers of my wife and the prayers of my children. At times when the doctors would go to Sonia and say, "We've done all we can, let's just kind of stop for now." Sonia said, no, not yet. Not yet. Because she believed sometime, somewhere, her prayer would be answered. And it was. And it was. I've had hundreds, probably literally thousands of Christians across this globe praying for me. People I don't even know, but people who I do know having asked them to pray for me. I have learned and appreciated prayer is powerful. And God answers prayer. And it is God's power in answering those many prayers that has even given me the opportunity to stand here this morning. If it were not for the fact that God answered your prayers, I'm afraid I wouldn't be here. But he heard them, and he answered them. And for that, I'm grateful. So this final statement, prayer must have a profound impact on our lives. It must. It provides us with strength and with peace, with comfort, with hope, with a deeper connection to the divine. And so as we navigate the ups and downs of life, let us find solace in the power of prayer. And let it daily guide us on our spiritual journey. Because prayer is powerful. Come if you need to, as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. There is.
visitors, if you're with us today, we're glad you came our way. Please come again.
Walking in sunlight on the journey.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity for us to gather together to worship you. Please be continue to be with Tuck and Elizabeth, and thank you for their impact on my life and everybody around them, their example and their leadership. Please continue to be with the youth group and continue to help them to make an impact on everyone around them, helping to stand up against the temptations that they'll face. Special prayer for the graduating seniors, and I pray for you. I pray that they continue to be plugged into your church and the communities around them. Please be with the members of our Western family that are going through health and life struggles, and help us to be there for them when they need it the most. Please continue to be with us throughout this week and allow us to continue to shine your light. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.